everybody, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my car ride home from work. I am an instructional coach at a high school just outside of Arlington, Virginia. I love my job, but the traffic is bad, and so as I get back in the car, I love to brain dump about my work with teachers across all content areas in the learning and the research I am doing, ways to sort of pay it forward and sort of help other teachers who might be able to do the same. So these podcasts are about 10 minutes long. They're always single item, action item oriented. So you can take the idea that you hear in the podcast and consider dropping it in your classroom as soon as tomorrow. And that's kind of cool. But likewise, I want to let you know that these, even though I monologue for about 10 minutes on a topic, it's designed not to be a monologue, but really to be a conversation, a dialogue. And so as you hear these podcasts and you get ideas, you're thinking about stuff for your own classroom, or maybe you've used it in the classroom, even to a cooler or neater or greater effect, please let me know. I would love to hear about what you're doing and how it's working for your kids. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. That's at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching because I like teaching. And I would love very much to have further conversation with you about what you love. I do record these in the car, so I do apologize in advance if you hear a blinker or any horns or any sort of air conditioning sounds in the background. It's a hot day in Washington, D.C., and sometimes you just have to deal with those sorts of things. But today, we're talking about games. I want to play a game with everybody here on the podcast. And I do a lot with gamification in the classroom. We'll talk about gamification quite a bit at various episodes here. But for a 10-minute version of a game, here's a game that we can do in any classroom. It's great in humanities classrooms. It's great in classes of all levels, from the students who are emerging or needing real scaffolding and differentiation to those students who are at the AP highest level classes. Like I said, I work in the high school level, and I work with students with cognitive delays all the way up to those students who are in the AP and the IB classes. And all you need to play this game is a big old box of poker chips. So if you're in to play with me today, let's shuffle up and deal. The way the game works is I call it a poker chip chase. I've seen people use similar things without poker chips. I like poker chips because they're brightly colored and people traditionally associate poker with gambling. It's very hard in school to do things that encourage gambling because there are all the stigmas and morals that still come attached to that. But we do want to encourage students to be savvy investors, and that's a nice way that we can kind of talk about or talk around some stuffs using a familiar mechanic that students or kids would obviously be familiar with, just with their life outside of the classroom. So I've done the poker chip challenge or the poker chip chase in two different ways, and this is sort of spelling out two different angles on it, but all you'll really need is a big old box of those guys. So if you have like 100 chips, you can play this game. It helps if you have at least four or five different colors. One of those big old mixed level boxes that has the whites and the blues, the reds, the greens, and the black. You don't have to do it that way, but I find it helpful. And so I'll walk through two different methodologies about how to do a poker chip chase with really any course or content area. I'll start with English because English is just my background, and that's what I know the best. But very quickly, you can swap out this talk of content that I'm delivering with the English piece of it and say, well, hang on, I could pop in a social studies curriculum, or I could do this in my science curriculum, or I can do this in my world languages just as easily. It's great for a high-level tactile review type game, as well as for a student-centered sort of learning through exploring. And I'll model both of those here for us in the next 7 minutes or thereabouts. So let's start with the teacher-centered version of the same thing. I got a bag of poker chips, or I got a box of poker chips, and I'm looking to give them away. I take students and I put them into teams, or I put them into pairs, or I put them individually at their tables. And I say, all right, guys, so we just read the first chapter of The Great Gatsby. I got red chips, white chips, blue chips, green chips. They're all worth different amounts. And maybe like, you set the white chips at 1 point, and then the red chips worth 2, the blue chips are worth 5, the black chips are worth 10, and the greens are worth 20 or 50. So there are mystery points available for each of the answers they provide. It works pretty much like you think it works. You ask a question and you toss a chip to somebody. Hey, I got a white chip for 5 points. Who wants to answer this one? I guess the white chips are the white 1 points, but or blue chips are worth 5 or whatever it is, right? Hey guys, so last night we read the first chapter of The Great Gatsby. What was one thing that happened that you felt was surprising? Anybody have an answer? I'll get you a white chip. Kid throws a hand up, boom, white chip for the team. Fantastic. And like seals at the zoo, right? You're throwing these little cookies and the little fish, and then the animals at the zoo go jumping. Well, I don't want to reduce kids and the behavioral stuffs to the animal behaviors. It's really cool to watch those very quick validations of, yep, you got it, catch a point, like 5 points for Gryffindor sort of style of instruction. And it does add a little bit of light levity to a presentation, which otherwise would be just like kind of some rote stuffs. Likewise, you as a teacher can create the sort of scarcity that you said, hey guys, I only have 10 chips today. I got to get 10 points on the board, so let's go ahead and just run it down real quick. For a white chip, what's the answer to 1? For a blue chip, what's the answer to 2? For a red chip, the answer to 3, 4, and so on. And when those chips are gone, they're gone, and you keep moving. It's a great way to move through a short piece that everyone has read or interacted with. Like, hey guys, we did a science lab yesterday. What was one thing that stood out to you that was surprising for a white chip? Okay, cool. What's one thing that you found that was connecting to something we talked about last week in class for a blue chip? All right, well, how about this? Can we make a prediction about if we were to do this lab again, blah, 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 for a green chip? So what you're doing on the inside is you're sort of scaffolding on the fly with some Bloom's taxonomy. The harder, higher level questions or the higher order thinking questions are getting more point value when you sort of throw the chips out to the crowd. But to the students, it just feels like, oh, it's totally random. All right, yeah, I got it, I got it, I got it. And you can strategically sort of pick the type of chip to build up their confidence and scaffold it down. And then when you've figured out that they've gotten 3 or 4 or 5 easier mid-level questions in a row, throw in one of those curveballs for a higher point value. You likewise have the ability to not tell students what each chip is worth point value-wise until the end of the collection activity. And then you say, oh, big surprise, the greens are worth 5, the blues are worth 10, or whatever that happens to be. That actually sort of tilts the needle in the other direction, which is that student-centered exploratory style of the activity. And this is the one that I've used to great effect, even at the high school level, with great results. And it's funny because it's so stupid, it shouldn't work, but I find that it does. The way that I do it is I'll split teams, students up into teams, and I'll say, hey guys, you're working with a team of 4 or 5 other people. We just read the first chapter of, I don't know, The Great Gatsby, right? And I want to find all of the stuff there is to know about The Great Gatsby. So if you look on the big board and on the projector overhead, I would say, we have 5 different colors to look for. We have the white chip, the blue chip, the green chip, the black chip, and the red chip. And each of those colors have been assigned a certain look for item. So for example, the green chips might all be symbolism because Gatsby seems reaching for that green light, right? Maybe the white chips deal with character details, or maybe the black chips deal with deception. In my head, that's an easy story to tell, right? White hats about characters and black cats about deceptions, and green with the symbolism. Okay, fine. That's all you tell students. You give them a 3-column graphic organizer to say, I want you to look for white or black or green style things. So either looking for symbols or looking for character details or looking for examples of deception. Each of these 3 things will play major roles in this story, but I'm going to let you guys just do some digging or some searching, knowing that there's a hidden point value attached to each of those colored poker chips. So the whites might be worth 1 point, or they might be worth 10 points, or they might all be worth the same number of points, but the students don't know as they begin the activity. By not knowing what each chip is worth, it compels students to start filling out their graphic organizer a little bit more balanced as they're doing the searches. So maybe they've done the thing where they found 4 examples of character detail, but because they know there's a hidden point value of symbolism detail or deception detail, they want to start fleshing out their developed rubrics or their graphic organizers because they want to make sure that they're not just putting all their eggs in one basket that might be the one that's worth the least. It's awesome for resource management and for strategy because you'll see small student teams do stuff like 3 students will say, okay, look, here's the deal. You take the greens, I'll take the blacks, I'll take the whites. Let's brainstorm as much as we can get in the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes that we have. And again, in order to get credit, it has to be a page number attached to each thing that they're writing into their graphic organizers. Then on the flip side, you watch another team say, look, you take page 1 through 5, I'll take pages 6 through 10, and you take pages 11 through 15, and look for everything that you can find in those pages. And it's wild because what students are doing is they're interacting with the text in a meaningful way. It's such a powerful thing to get students to care about, even if they didn't read every last word of it, because they cliff noted it, or they spark noted it, or they schmooped it. You want them to be interacting with a document. It's a great way to teach annotation through primary text or through rhetoric, leaning in for specific examples of, and you can do this in a history class, in a world language class, religion class, science or math class. I need you guys to look back at the data set and tell me where in the data set you're finding examples of A or B or C or D or E. And again, using the poker chips to your advantage, that each of them has this hidden secret advantage on the end for a very big payoff. Then you as a teacher just collect those work products, see what those graphic organizers look like as they're filled out. And at the end of the activity, you just sort of call it out. Okay, how many guys had, you know, things in the blue column? All right, how many did you have for blues? Because they're all, spoiler, worth 5 points. Or how many times did you put something in the green column? Because that's worth 10 points. And you, as the teacher, could strategically pick certain valued things to tilt the activity such that students are looking for the key thing that you wanted them to see and rewarding the ones that may have been harder to find or the real focus of that lesson. It's great. It's easy. It's super high energy. And like I said, with just a kit of poker chips, you can pretty much get the kids to, quote, buy in or go all in or other bad poker metaphors that I'll probably stop with right about now. That'll do it for this week. If you have questions and you want to talk further about this, please tweet at me. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. Would love to talk about it, ways you're using poker chips in your classroom, and other ideas you might have inspired or related to this game. I thank you guys again for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode.